Hey, game friends, GM John here. Ravenloft Tiny Terrors is a spooky, silly podcast that may contain scenes that aren't appropriate for all listeners. As always, all specific content warnings for each episode can be found in the episode descriptions. We're using the Sword and Sorcery Ravenloft books from the early 2000s, as well as the Pathfinder First Edition role-playing system to play this game. This podcast was actually recorded before Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft for a 5th edition was printed, so if you're using that book, things will be a little different here. In lieu of referring you to books that may be out of print, if you want to learn more about Ravenloft and the background of the podcast's world, make certain to check out the Fraternity of Shadows, home of Ravenloft on the internet, at www.fraternityofshadows.com. With no further ado, we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome, game friends, to the Real Play Games podcast, a podcast where I, your game master, John, run my friend through a bunch of tabletop role-playing games, some of them pretty popular and some of them fairly obscure. This is actually going to be our 6th episode of our Ravenloft Tiny Terrors game. And last episode was pretty exciting, but first, before we get into what happened, we'll go ahead and introduce everybody. Of course, we'll start with Rue. Rue, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Actually, I'd been really, really tired for like the past week, and I finally started sleeping good, so I'm so happy today.
That's good.
Yeah.
I had to work today.
Oh, boo.
I'm Rue. I play Lupo Cthulhu, the moon boy, and his faithful hound, Gorger.
I'm Harm. I play the halfling telekinetic mad dog barbarian, Iffy, and her wolf, Yes Sir. That is always such a mouthful.
I know. It sounds like a lot.
Her title is so big and she is so little.
Last time on the previous episode, Iffy made herself a new friend, or maybe lifetime blood adversary, in the form of the counselor Domic d'Aulnaire, after she had a very interesting conversation with him and a coach, after she and Lupo had defeated a wax golem with plans to replace people in Demolyu with wax golem replicants of themselves. You two have just gotten back to where Alonic Ray and Arthur Sedgwick are located in their home, following the discussion that you had had. So how are you two doing after that discussion?
If he's hungry. It's around dinner time, right?
I thought it was lunch.
How long was the ride? Felt like eternity.
It's towards the later afternoon, early evening.
Oh, so snack time. Have we told Alonic what happened?
You're just kind of heading back to the house now. You can actually see them still working on the cart that you had pulled the pin on and separated the horses from.
Oh, yeah. Skipping her way up to the doorstep.
When you get inside, Iffy and Lupo, you can both see that Alonic was apparently watching from the window, and he has a bit of a grave expression on his face. You can hear some noise upstairs.
It probably matches the Lupo's.
Iffy does not look grave at all.
As Alonic looks at the two of you, he says, "So I understand from the way that Lupo looked when he got out of the cart that things were not necessarily very well received inside of there."
Yeah, he didn't like the fish eggs were so sad, and the guy inside was kind of rude. But I mean, I think overall it went well.
I think it's best for us to leave soon.
Oh, yeah, he said that, I forget, either we have to leave before a certain time or he's sending someone to make sure we leave before a certain time. I'm pretty sure vouchers were promised.
Yeah, he said we're leaving at a certain time. And I believe he'll probably send someone to make sure we leave at a certain time.
They might try and kill us.
I understand. Well, Arthur and I have decided to take a short sojourn over to Richemulot so we can enjoy some of the seasonal sights. So we will be vacating the premises in a fairly short amount of time as well. Of course, we are happy to wait here with you or get everything taken care of for you that is necessary to facilitate you leaving town. If you'd like to leave before they send someone to collect you, that may be wise as well.
I mean, probably a good idea that you get out of here because the fish man seemed real grumpy about things. So is like the piggy hater going to be more mad or less mad if we leave early?
If we leave away, not of his choosing.
It is quite possible he will be more mad if you decide to leave in a fashion that is not of his choosing. He is a very influential person. Yes, unfortunately, I believe that were you to accept any sort of transportation he provides for you, it may end up being a one-way trip in a more permanent sense.
Death.
Oh. Part of the problem in that whole carriage ride is if he doesn't get subtext.
Not at all.
Oh, so he was threatening to kill us the whole time. He was like, you guys need to get a ride out of the place because things. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Yeah, he might as well have had our caskets.
Okay, so we're going to just go, right?
I mean, yeah, we don't have much to do here. We got it. We got what we wanted. And we're just going to go. Now we need to go to the Professor Arcanus.
So is he going to be like mad when we come back to go to the circus?
It is quite possible, yes. You will want to try and blend in.
He seems like he's mad all the time. So let's just go and we'll just deal with it later. That feels like a future Iffy's problem. Unlike me, Iffy never, never tries to make her life easier.
So yeah, we should leave soon then.
Yeah, let's go. We're going to go.
As you're preparing to leave, before you go, Alana comes to you with a small pouch and he says, it is not much, but it is the portion of what was given from Baronel Descartes.
Is that the dad of the kid we saved?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and what is it?
Inside of the pouch is 100 gold solars.
Do you want to take that? Because I have 315.
Yeah, I can.
He had wished to pay me as well, but I told him that you two were the ones that had done most of the legwork as far as freeing him from his imprisonment.
Aw, thank you.
I already have means, and it is not something that I wish to lay claim to, because again, you did most of the work.
You are as honorable as everybody says.
Well, thank you. It has been an absolute pleasure having you as guests, even if we must now take a short sojourn to the country, as it were.
I'm sorry if making the fishman piggy hater angry gets your life tough.
Do not worry. If anything, I quite honestly find it slightly amusing.
You're always welcome to come stay at the shop if you need a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Jack would be more than happy to have you, even if we're not there and we're still out looking for all the things we're looking for.
As lovely as it would be to return home to Martira Bay for a while, I think it best if I stay away for a bit. There are still things that need resolving between myself and people there.
Not Sasha, though, right?
Oh, that would be Miss Brandelberg, correct?
Yes, she makes the best breads.
Indeed she does. Her elven loaf is phenomenal.
Oh my gosh. Iffy loves Alonic so much more now, like Sasha. And knows who Sasha is.
Yes, she is quite a talented woman.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people.
We got her gift.
Yeah, we do. Oh, we didn't get her anything here.
This is a stinky place anyway.
Yeah, she wouldn't want anything from here. It's awful here. No offense, Alonic.
None taken. Again, I am a native Darkonian.
Oh, his husband isn't from here, is he?
No, his husband is actually from Morden.
Okay, cool. Cool. So we're going to head on out, hit that dusty trail.
All right. And what kind of speed are you going to take to head out from Port Eleusine?
Should we just ride the dogs or?
Can we sneak out?
At this point, you're leaving pretty much right after the cart pulls away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to try and give me stealth checks to not be super noticeable halflings on big dogs as you're heading out of town, go ahead and give me stealth checks.
Are we going to ride the dogs or, like, take a carriage or what?
I would say we don't ride them until we get out of town.
Okay, yeah. We'll sneak out
We'll see how sneaky we can be, and then if we are seen, we'll just ride them out.
I only got an 11.
That's 21.
Oh, he's so sneaky.
He is. He is far sneakier than you are, for certain.
Yeah.
I have to be.
Okay, so I am going to roll something.
Should our dogs roll?
No, don't worry about that. Okay, you are very lucky. I had a +4 bonus to my perception check to see whether or not you folks got noticed going out, and I rolled a 5.
Nice.
So the two of you managed to successfully sneak your way out of town.
I'm like, I know some good bushes we can hide in. And then we'll ride.
Yeah, like the wind.
Yeah. Wolves are known for being able to go long distances.
And I take it you're going to go a little bit off of the main path.
Yeah, we're going to try and avoid being seen on the path.
Okay, well, let me just check really quickly to see if anything encounters you along the sparsely forested areas in which you're riding. No, fortunately, you have a pretty easy time of things as you're heading down. You end up reaching Shadafoe. It takes, I would say, probably 4 hours worth of riding to get to Shadafoe.
Where's Shadafoe? Is that in Darkon or is that?
Darkon is well far to the north. You're still in Demolyu at this point. Shadafoe is the other large city in Demolyu.
Okay.
But it is also relatively close to the Mordauntish border.
And we're wanting to go to Mordaunt, right?
Correct.
Okay. I say we just keep going until we get over the border.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to just go on to Mordaunt.
Then I need you to give me survival checks to figure out how you can get your bearing and get oriented to get towards Mordaunt without heading on the main road.
Could I do a knowledge nature instead?
No.
I'm going to, as we're doing this, guidance.
I got a 10.
I got a 4, 5 with guidance.
Okay, interesting.
We're going to get lost.
Well, yeah, that is what happens. You believe that you may have pushed too far south instead of going southwest like you were supposed to get to Mordaunt. One thing that concerns you is you know at this point that puts you dangerously close to the Falkovnian border, but you know that you have not gotten close enough to be on the Falkovnian border. Right now you're at what is known as the Bois de Bijou. It is a number of lakes that when the sun is setting, which ironically enough, is around this time, you're just about the end of sunset at this point by the time you reach them. There are multiple colors all over the waters. They're known as the rainbow boxes, and some of them are reputed to be hot springs that have restorative properties. You can see the last rays of sunlight kind of glittering over all these small little lakes.
Cool. Can I use the setting sun to orient us so that we can go away from the Falkovnian border?
Give me another survival check, and I'm going to make a roll.
Be looking around, too, to see if I'm like, I don't think this is where we're supposed to be.
I got a 10 again.
That would be a 10 again.
Yeah, for survival.
You got a 9.
Again? Oh, no, you got a 5 last time, didn't you?
Yeah. Getting better.
Yeah, I have a +0 to survival. I have a knowledge nature, but not a survival. Although I would argue I can orient by the setting sun.
You're doing your best to try and orient with the setting sun. When it is just getting ready to be completely down, you realize that something has been following you in the air.
Do we see what it is?
Give me perception checks to see if you can notice what it is that's following you currently.
10.
Wow, that's your number.
It's an unfortunate number in this game.
I can roll well with this. That's a 26.
Thank God.
Well, that is very convenient for you because you are the one currently being targeted by this thing that is blocking out the beginning rays of moonlight and diving towards you as you hear,
oh my God, owls.
Moonbeam.
The natural predator of halflings, owls.
Yeah, this is maybe the largest owl you've ever seen. So we're going to go ahead and roll for initiative.
Our ancient foe has returned.
They prey on the baby halflings.
Are you kidding me?
19.
Mm.
Did you roll a 1?
I rolled a 4. And it's got 12. A decent bonus to its initiative, but still.
12.
Okay, so Iffy, you are going first on this one.
All right. Do I see it?
You are now aware of it at this point because of your cousin's panicked reaction.
I'm going to shoot an adamantine ball at it.
If you want to hit it with that, do you have the extended range ability? Because it is over 30 feet away from you currently.
No. Can I wait for it to get into 30 feet and then shoot it?
Yeah, you can hold your action until it's within the 30 feet.
I wish to hold my action.
Okay. And Lupo?
I'm going to stop, drop off the dog, and roll up Shield of Faith.
Okay, so as your spell takes action and you have a slight blessing from the moon that bolsters your ability to resist being attacked, the owl comes swooping in. So it is attempting a charging swoop attack on you, Lupo. And Iffy, you can make a attack action at the same time to see if you hit it while it's swooping.
Okay. So now it's within 30 feet, right?
Correct.
That is for a 14 to attack.
Okay. Unfortunately, you do not manage to catch it. Lupo, what is your armor class?
Right now, my armor class is 23.
My dice are betraying me.
You get your shield up and its talons clang against it as it flies past you, Lupo. Iffy, unfortunately, your blast goes far wide and one of your adamantine balls goes sailing off into the distance.
Nice halfling reflexes there.
Ooh, so scary.
So at this point, it is about 25 feet away from the two of you. And I guess at this point, we would be going to Lupo since you held your action.
If it's within 25 feet, or within 30 feet, I'm going to hit it with Moonbeam. I make a range touch. I have to hit it first.
Oh, okay.
Range touch of 25.
Oh, wow. It had a 10 touch armor class.
I have to be sure. It's our ancient
100% bow. Hit it.
A d6 plus 2. So 4 radiant damage, and then fortitude save, yeah.
No! What's the DC on it?
I'm guessing it's 10 plus half my level, which is 12 plus charisma modifier, which is 4, so 16.
Get out. I got a 15 on it. I have a plus 9 on the fortitude save. I rolled a 6.
Good, we're both rolling poorly.
So the owl is blinded, correct?
Blind for one round.
Great. So Iffy, as it's flying confusedly, what are you doing?
How far away is it?
It is 25 feet away and about 5 feet up in the air.
I'm going to shoot it with another adamantine ball. That is for 21.
That absolutely hits.
17 damage.
Ooh. Jeez. You hit it in the side and you hear a cracking sound that you're pretty certain was maybe one of its ribs, maybe two of them. But you see a big dark stain splatter a bunch of the bushes that are nearby and the other vegetation. As it starts swooping back up high into the air, and it looks like it's getting ready to circle around.
Okay, it's too high up for my dog to attack, right?
Correct. Neither of your dogs can get at it right now.
Okay, I'm going to order my dog to hide.
Ooh.
Or at least, like, I'm going to send him underneath a tree or something so he can't get attacked.
Lay dead.
Down.
I am going to grab the coal dust that I have. It's within 150 feet of me, right?
Correct. Yeah, it hasn't flown that far away. It has a total speed of 60 feet flying, so it would be approximately 85 feet away from you.
And I'm going to throw it as I cast Dust of Twilight, and it has to make a fortitude save.
And what level spell is that? Second?
Second, yes.
Okay, so that would be...
15 fortitude save.
Okay. No! That was a nat 1 on that one.
Ooh.
So a sudden gust of wind picks up the coal dust on the air as your spell takes effect and hammers this giant owl.
And it just becomes fatigued.
Yeah, you see its wings start flapping a little more slowly. And as it wheels around, it's flying a little more clumsily than before. But this time, Iffy, it looks like it's dive bombing you.
All right.
So go ahead and roll an attack roll while it's also attacking you.
21.
Go ahead and roll for your damage, Iffy. I'm so mad.
15.
You pummel it directly in the side of the head with another one of your adamantine balls. It hits hard enough that the ball actually bounces off of the side of its head. You see where it lands in the dirt.
Cool.
This owl sails past you and flies off into the trees. You can see, based off of the amount of blood that's leaking from it, that it is not doing well at all.
Did it go low enough that the dogs could attack before it left?
I will give each of your dogs a chance because they were... Yeah. Well, your dog was hiding, correct?
Yeah, my dog was underneath a tree.
He was next to me.
Then I will give Gorger a single attack because he's not in hiding currently.
Go, Gorger. Get us some dinner.
That is a 21.
Cool. Go ahead and roll.
Trip him, Gorger. Trip that owl.
8, and then he trips him.
Well, it's a huge beast. So this owl has like a 20-foot wingspan. This owl could probably pick up both of you and maybe one of the dogs if it picked one up in its beak.
I told you they'd be predators of halflings.
You can make the trip check, but it is technically, I think, two size categories bigger than Gorger.
No,
if I'm not mistaken, that's a -8 penalty on the roll.
It would just give him bonuses as to his CMD.
Okay, yeah, because he's got a 25, so...
I'd have to roll 20. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
So as Gorger tries in vain to grab this thing's leg, he tears a huge chunk of it off, and you see it go careening into the wood line. You're pretty certain that it is going to die fairly soon if it does not manage to get somewhere safe.
How fast was it flying?
It made it 50 feet away from you.
Can I move closer and attack it again?
If you want to pursue this thing, yes, you guys can keep going after
it.
Is it headed towards the Falkovnian border or away from it?
Away from it.
Yeah, I'll chase it.
Okay.
Come back here. I want dinner.
Each of you go ahead and give me one more ranged attack.
Moon power.
You're hitting it with another moonbeam?
That's the only ranged attack I have.
Okay. So you're
A 17 to attack, I believe. Yeah. I got a 17.
Oh, that's a, 7 plus 6, so 13.
That's a touch, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you both hit. Harm, you hit it by its exact armor class because it has a -1 to it because of its fatigued condition.
I do 10 damage.
6.
So a sphere of pure adamantine and a bolt of pure moonlight sail through the air at almost the exact same time. One collides with one side of this giant owl's face. The other collides with the other and causes its massive head to explode in a shower of gore into the wood line.
I'm going to clean it so we can eat it. That's dinner.
Save some of these feathers.
Does it have anything that's tum-tum?
You can give me then either survival check or cooking check if you happen to have it.
Can I help you with your survival?
Yeah, could I do a knowledge nature instead?
You know what? I'll let you do it. Sure.
I'm going to just keep asking because I got it. I got a 17.
Okay, you managed to dress it fairly well. You lose some of the meat just because you blasted a good portion of it off and some had moon dust particulate in it.
We'll leave the charcoal pieces behind. But meat, cool. Let's go and make camp and have some dinner. Do we think we can get across the border?
I think we should rest. Maybe we'll have better luck tomorrow.
Okay, you don't think that someone sent the owl, right?
I mean, now I do.
I hope if you were someone's pet, they miss you. All right, we're going to go make camp.
Putting the feathers together, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this thing is so big that if you guys decided to just take out its intestines and the other inside organs, you could probably just sleep in it for the night like a little hut.
That sounds gross.
I know. Tell me about it. It's a huge creature.
Yeah, we'll make camp far enough away that I don't think predators are going to be coming sniffing around us.
Yeah, it's about 18 feet tall and with a 30-foot wingspan.
We went chasing after that. It's bigger than us standing on our dogs.
It attacked us. You know the rules. The rules, we've made these rules for years with owls.
If they attack first, we get to kill them and eat them.
I rolled like slop that entire battle.
That thing was so big. Okay, yeah, we're going to make a camp where we don't think predators will get us that come sniffing around our dead owl friend.
It doesn't help that I'm a little turtle.
And then we're going to cook and eat some owl meat and have a nice... Oh, should we do watches or do you think the dogs can keep watch?
I'll watch. I like being up at night sometimes.
Okay. My dog can keep watch too. He's got guard. Oh, that's approach.
My dog have guard?
My dog also has defend. I feel like between those, he would be able to protect the camp.
I have down and defend. Defend.
Cool. So we go to bed. We eat. We drink. We're merry. We sleep.
The night passes otherwise fairly uneventfully, and you manage to wake in the morning feeling both well-rested and obviously much more prepared for the road considering how much owl meat you have.
Cool. Let's hit the road and try and get over the Mordaunt.
And since it's morning and you've got a better ability to kind of get your bearings in the morning, I'm going to let you make a survival check and both of you will get a +2 on it.
16.
20.
Nice.
Between the two of you, you're easily able to regain your bearings. And by the time you reach the border area of the Moliu, you know there is a massive, silent evergreen forest.
Oh.
Wait, is that on the Demonliu side or the Mordaunt?
It is on the Mordaunt side. It's almost directly as you go across the Mordaunt side.
Is there like a path through it?
There is a road Correct. The path through the Forest of the Ancients doesn't really have a name. It's just you're passing through the Forest of the Ancients.
Okay, I guess we go down the path.
Do we know anything about this forest at all? Or
give me a knowledge nature check.
I don't have.
Yeah, it's important now.
I rolled a one.
We don't know anything about it. I asked him, she's like, nope.
I'm like, it looks like a path to me.
Iffy, you understand this to be a sunny, wholly unthreatening stretch of forest that occupies very little of Morden itself.
That side is not Demonliu. This side is. I say we go on that side.
All right. I trust you.
We just went out of Demonliu, so we go checking down the path on the forest.
The border itself of Demonliu, the forest isn't exactly super big, but you can see as you're going a little ways in, it starts getting much thicker. And you see off in the distance, about a quarter mile away, as some of the morning fog is almost coalescing more than breaking up. When you went from Demonliu, it had already seemed to have cleared up, but it seems maybe a little more humid here because it's still relatively foggy, even though it's the morning time.
Is it warmer?
It is a little bit cooler, actually, than Demonliu was.
Interesting. Okay. What do we know about Mordaunt?
Give me a knowledge geography or knowledge history check.
I have history.
I don't have either of those, so I guess I wasn't paying attention when Jackson was teaching us.
Oh, I got a 10 altogether.
All you know is Mordaunt tends to be considered fairly sleepy by all of its neighbors. It has a lot of noble families that have dwindled to nothingness. There's only a handful of them left. It's got a fairly egalitarian society with regards to workers' rights versus those of the more wealthy.
How about halflings?
It is fairly halfling friendly. If anything, the Mordantish have a good appreciation for family and also for dogs. So they definitely get along relatively well with halflings more so than other members of the non-human species.
Excellent.
And you reach a relatively small hamlet. There's mainly a couple of houses. It looks like a blacksmith, a small general store, and an inn. And it's still relatively thickly foggy out. If there weren't a couple of lights hanging outside, you would have missed the place completely.
I could use a drink.
Okay, we'll head there.
Well, when you head inside the inn, it's a stout one-story affair that's made of lumber. It's fairly well made, too.
Why am I thinking Stardust? Is there a goat-like man behind the counter?
No. No, there is not.
Don't bathe.
Now, there is a bar that predominates most of the interior of the inn's main space, and it's pretty deserted when the two of you enter. There's one older human man sitting there talking with a very thick rural accent, and he kind of eyeballs you for a moment, but then you can see he's got a mangy kind of looking dog. You can't really tell what breed it is. It's more of a mutt laying down at his feet.
A dog.
And you see a man with a fairly red nose, sandy blonde hair, and a pudgy face behind the counter. It looks like he's cleaning glass. He goes, "Well, there, travelers. How you doing? Good morning to you."
Good morning. That's a very handsome dog.
You can see behind the counter, another dog comes trotting out behind a swinging door. Oh, well, you know, us more dentist folk, we really like having our dogs.
I pull out some of the owl jerky. Do they like owl?
Seems maybe that would be an acquired taste, sir.
It's like chicken.
Now, how can we help you small folk today? Are you folks with the caravan? Because they already moved past a little bit.
The caravan?
Yeah, we just had a fair amount of your people come in. It would be yesterday at this point. They did a little bit of trade and they purchased a great deal of alcohol, which we always expect them to.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do we know anything about these caravans?
You don't necessarily know which caravan this would be because it's located, again, a couple of countries away from yours. Do either of you have knowledge local?
No. I don't. If he doesn't know,
why don't I have these?
Because Lupo and Iffy are ignorant. They're just babes in the wood.
Lupo will say, no, not part of them. We're traveling to Mordenshire.
Yeah.
At this point, you're really going to be taking the only road that's going to end up leading you there.
Yeah, we just wanted to stop in for a drink and a rest before we hit the big open trail.
Well, now I'll tell you. You two have got to be a little bit careful out there. You see, legend has it, you're walking through at nighttime, the De Boisrebieux family manor. You can see it when the moon's high. And from what I've heard, it stalks through the forest like a hunted animal.
It's a monster that hunts a manor and goes through the woods?
No,
The manor stalks through the woods itself. It's never in the same place from night to night. If you get caught in its path, you'll never be seen again.
So the building moves around?
Yeah.
Oh, that is creepy. You guys have creepy stories here. That's awesome. And awful.
We don't plan on traveling.
At night?
Yeah.
Is there a place if we leave out from here that we can get to before nightfall?
Oh, well, I mean, I see you've got saddles on them dogs there. So if you're going to push it with your dogs, you could easily reach Mordenshire.
Should we do that?
We could do that.
Well, we thank you for your advice, sir.
I'll give him my gold. Thank you.
Well, now, if you're going to be going ahead and giving me that, at least I could be giving you folks a drink for the way. Give you a little bit of a something to guard you against the chill in the air.
Really like Mordaunt.
Yeah, thank you.
He draws what you think are children's cups based on the size of them. But he draws you a cup that big of ale and hands it over to you from the bar.
If he takes it happily. Is it good ale?
It's a little watered down, but it's very tasty. And it seems like they like it relatively warm, which is a little strange to you.
I've never had it warm before. That makes the flavor so much more interesting. All right. So I guess we down our ale and then we're going to head on out.
Okay. Well, as you head away from Hope's End, you're not stopping anywhere else in the settlement?
I don't think we need anything, do we? Is there anything that grabs our attention in the settlement?
Not that you see. The store looks like a fairly small general store.
Oh, I want to see if they have something that I can shoot with, because I almost wasted all of my long range stuff last night when we fought that.
Like a sling? Because I have the adamantine stone, so you could just get a sling and...
Yeah, I'm going to go see if I can find one of those really quick.
Yeah, we're going to check out the general store real fast.
You go in, there's a relatively dapper looking young man behind the counter, but he also looks a bit bored, even though it looks like the place has just opened up. And as you come in, he says, "Why, hello there. How can we help you this fine morning?"
Good morning.
I was looking for a weapon. Do you have anything that shoots long range?
Range.
For a person your size?
Yes.
Well, the only thing I can think of that we have for that is,
and he rummages around for a while, and he does in fact produce a sling that's approximately your size. He says, normally we would sell these to children for shooting targets or the like, but it would be the best thing that we have available.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Oh, indeed. And we have a number of stones to go with it. It's a little set.
Do they have adamantine bullets?
No.
Okay.
One of the only places that you know of to get adamantine anything is going to be Darkon, and it's specifically the eastern end where you folks are located. To the south of where you were raised, there are mountains where a number of dwarves occasionally manage to mine adamantine, and that's one of the few places it's produced.
Okay.
Yeah, it is very rare.
Is this just a regular sling?
Correct. Yeah, it's just a regular halfling-sized sling.
Would I have reclaimed the adamantine, the one that was lost? Because there was one that I saw land and there was one that I didn't.
Yes, you were. It took about maybe an hour's time, but you combed through the underbrush and found it. You could see the trail of destruction that it had left, and that's what led you to it eventually.
Okay, so I have one of them back, right?
Correct.
And how many sling bullets?
Let's say 20.
How much is that?
Together, how much would it be?
Sling, the cost for that is negligible. But we'll say with the bullets for the sling total, the whole thing costs you 2 silver pieces.
We trade him some owl meat.
No, nobody is interested in owl meat.
I have 10 giant owl feathers.
We're going to be feeding those dogs the owl meat and eating it ourselves, I guess. Does owl meat store well in the haversack?
Well, yeah, I mean, it...
There's no air in there, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no air in there. So it's a relatively anaerobic setting. It's going to store like most uncured meat. So you'd get like a day or two out of it, but...
We're going to smoke it. We probably smoked some of it because you said you had owl jerky, so...
Yeah, I'll let you guys have smoked owl meat the night before. That's fine.
How much do we have so I can add it to our list?
Let's say that you managed to get about 10 pounds of smoked owl meat and maybe 5 pounds raw owl meat. And I believe owl meat is definitely going to be the name of this episode.
Owl meat.
Okay, owl meat cannot be that good. I know.
I want to throw up a little bit thinking about eating owl meat because it can't be tasty. They eat rats all the time.
How much owl meat did you say we had that was cooked and uncooked?
You have 10 pounds smoked and 5 pounds raw.
Yeah, the raw stuff we're going to feed to the pups over the next couple of days, I guess.
What?
And then we'll keep the smoked stuff also for the pups. So we're going to hit the road.
Yes, you are going to leave the tiny fog-shrouded settlement of Hope's End and head back on the road heading through the Forest of the Ancients.
And he said it's just straight on through, right?
You'll be heading southwest until you reach Mordenshire.
Okay, cool. Let's head on out. We're riding our pups.
At all haste.
Yeah, we're going at a good pace.
It's not quite as damp or misty as you were leaving, although it's pretty gloomy at this point. You ride for several hours down the road before you can hear off in the distance the sound of music and a very familiar style of singing. You recognize the language almost immediately.
Wings.
Correct, yes. You can see up ahead of you as you start moving far enough to see past the slight shrouding of fog that's in the air now. A number of halfling caravans that are all scattered around. You can see little halfling kids chasing one another. They're sitting there taking time to mend clothing and things like that. You can see they're all just gathered about, seemingly having what you believe might be second lunch.
I guess let's give a traditional halfling greeting.
Yeah.
One of the halflings that seems to be taking watch, it's a toe-headed, rumbly-tumbly, you believe it's a male halfling from the looks of him. He's wearing very light armor and he hails you. He says, "Why, hello there. How are you doing?"
"Fantastic. How are you?"
"Oh, it's pretty nice to see a bunch of halflings on the road. We're doing great."
"Might we join you for second lunch?"
He jerks his chubby little thumb over his shoulder. He says, "Oh, yeah, go in there. People will be happy to see other folks besides the families."
"You guys aren't going to Dumanlyu, are you?"
"Oh, no, no. We were headed to Mordenshire, and then we were going to spend a little time down there."
"Oh, excellent. I would stay away from Dumanlyu right now. They have some people that are very anti-halfling."
"Oh, they don't treat halflings that great up there anyway. We do some training up there every once in a while, but we're not due up there for another couple of months."
"Good, good. Yeah, be careful and maybe feel it out before you go, because I hear some people in power real mad at halflings right now."
"Oh, goodness. Well, you know, they're always a little bit looking down on us. Of course, most people look down on us, as you know, very well.
But they're so rude there."
"Oh, I know. But they've got their noses so far up in the air, they can't even see us half the time." "Well, yeah, come on in. Yes, we've got a number of families here. We got the Brambleberries. We got the Shingleferds. We got the Quackwaddles."
"The Quackwaddles?
The Quackwaddles, I know. Hey, what family are you from?"
"We're from the Catoolies."
"Well, Catoolie, wait a second. That accent. You folks are Darkonian, aren't you?"
"We are. We're from the dam."
"We are, yes."
He has a significant look on his face. He says, "Well, it's always nice to see far-removed family now, isn't it?"
"Wait, what is the significance of that? I'm sorry, I'm not understanding."
"Give me a sense motive check."
"You're asking the girl who doesn't..."
"10.
Yeah. A 10?
"Me too."
Neither of you has any idea what the look that he gave meant.
Is it a bad? We don't get any feelings off of it?
You get no feelings off. You don't even really notice it that much. You just see he makes a face, but you're not sure what it means.
You said it was the Brambleberries, the Shingleforts, and the Quackwaddles?
Correct.
And we haven't heard anything about them, right?
Give me, what is the appropriate role for halfling knowledge?
I think it's local.
I'm going to have you guys make just intelligence checks to see if you've ever heard anything about any of these families.
Oh, because I am smart, girl. 18.
13.
From what you understand, Iffy, specifically, you've heard about the Shingleferds?
Uh-huh.
They are very good at building roofs. And their predominant business is helping to make roofs for houses or repairing house roofs.
Oh, we've heard of the Shingleferds. Their roofing skills are legendary.
Indeed, indeed. They put all the roofs on the carts.
Yeah, I think they helped us figure out how to make the domed roofs of the dam.
Yes, the dam, of course, yeah. And he leads you in. There's a number of people currently around what looks like a big pot. It looks like everybody's having stew for second lunch and big chunks of bread.
I'd offer them owl meat, but that's for the dogs. Oh, I guess I could offer them owl meat for their dogs. Do they have dogs?
There are a number of dogs running around. Big dogs, little dogs, all dogs of all sizes. Your dogs are just chomping at the bit to go play with some other dogs.
Yeah, they're free to go.
Yeah, can our dogs play with your dogs?
Says, "Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, those are big dogs."
"Yeah, they're big boys."
Once you let them off, Gorger and Yesser go just romping around. They find a whole group of big dogs that just start hanging out together, and they integrate seamlessly with the pack.
If he really wants to go and play with the pack too, but she keeps giving longing glances over at them.
I'll take my family bowl and go to the stew.
Yeah, we go to eat with a stew with our family bowls.
And when you head towards the stew pot, you are greeted by a number of different halflings, all of whom start asking questions about you, where you've been, what you're doing currently.
If he's happy to share.
Yeah, sure.
We're from, I forget where.
Ooh, can I roll like a, I'm going to tell a tale. Can I do like a performance check?
Absolutely. And if you are from Delagia originally, although you had moved to Martira Bay.
Okay. Oh, can I roll to see if I sense motive? Like, they're being friendly, right?
Oh, they're being very friendly.
Okay.
I'm going to try to spin a yarn about our travel. Ooh, I mean, I didn't roll terribly. That's a 14 plus 4, 18.
For an 18, everyone seems very appreciative of the story that you win. And especially when you show them the feathers from the giant owl and the meat, they all seem very impressed. A lot of them are like, oh, they'll steal a child away. Oh, I know. Tell me about it.
Right? There's and horrifying. This one was huge. Do they like owl meat?
The dogs that are around are just chomping and salivating at the bit for some owl meat.
Do you want to give them some of our raw owl meat?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give them, in return for our meal, we'll give them like 2.5 pounds of raw owl meat.
Oh, yeah. They are more than happy to accept that owl meat and put it in their larder for feeding some of the pups.
Yeah, the puppets. If he's going to sneak off and go play with the pups.
I'm going to ask, did they leave earlier today from that town, or did they leave a couple days ago?
Oh, are they worried about the house?
Yeah.
He's asking them about when they left, and I'll be asking about the house.
Well, as you're asking, one of the older male halflings looks to you specifically, Lupo, and goes, oh, well, we ended up leaving last night. We make good time, but we wanted to settle down because, of course, you got to stop for most meals.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You were here overnight?
We stayed in Hope's End for a little while just so we could get moving, but we decided to be on the road at nighttime. I mean, with numbers, most things aren't really that willing to tangle with a halfling. You'll find that Mordant is pretty relaxed compared to where you're from.
What about the house?
The house?
Oh, that, well, we halflings usually take our houses with you unless we're living in them, and we don't have to go seeking out other houses now, do we?
What if they seek you out?
Oh, well, then we would just run as fast as possible.
I love halflings. We're the best.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell them what I heard about the house.
If he's playing with the dogs.
So they know at night to be very careful.
A very old halfling. You believe that she's one of the Quackwaddles? She comes over to you, Lupo, and you can see she's got a gauzy strip of fabric over her eyes. And she's, you're a wandering one, aren't you?
Yes, grandmother.
Yes, none of Quackwaddles is fine. I see things in the future for you. A place that is not a place, and a name that is not actually your name. You are from the Darkonians, yes? Your people are from Delagia?
Delagia, yeah.
She pulls out a very large book from a shelf that's on one of the nearby carts, and as she's brushing it off a little bit, you can see it looks like a genealogy. And she starts paging through it. She says, Cthulhu, Cthulhu, Cthulhu. Ah, I see. And she turns the book towards the two of you. So you
Wait,
can
she's reading it and she's blind with the gauze over her eyes? That's cool.
I think she can, yeah, see without seeing.
Cool.
And you can see it's a list of familial lines. You can tell that you are actually distantly related to some of the three families that make up this caravan. There's a bunch of other different family names as well that are listed. But based on what you can see, Lupo, your mother and, well, your mother specifically is not originally from Delagia.
Look, isn't that your mom?
Yeah.
You can see your mother is actually a Quackwaddle.
I can see why she gave up the last name. I don't say that out loud.
So that makes me part of Quackwaddle.
Aye, and has your mother ever mentioned the rest of the family?
Has she?
She has not. From what you're led to believe, your family and your mother and your mother's family has always live in Darkon.
This isn't what she told me about my life, or about her. About our family.
You can see, and you don't need a sense motive check for this. Some of the other adults that are around give dark looks to one another. And Nana says,
well, clearly, your mother ended up falling to the curse.
Ippy hears curse while she's playing with the dogs, and she's going to start making her way over, because that's usually something people say before they start being mean to Lupo, and if he doesn't tolerate that.
I don't think she did.
Many people, when they end up going to Darken, they forget where they come from.
What? Oh.
That's why we never really go to Darkon, because then a couple of weeks after we've left, we all have to remember that we weren't actually born there.
Are we from Darkon?
Iffy, your family is listed as having a completely Darkonian origin. You are listed as being firmly within a Darkonian family that originated in Darkon.
Iffy doesn't know if she's sad about that or happy about that, but she's like, look, I guess I'm as Darkon as it comes. Is Lupo from Darkon?
Yeah, I was born there.
Well, yeah, but we would think that, wouldn't we?
Lupo was born in Delagia, and his father's family is from Delagia.
Okay.
Yeah, you were related through Lupo's father's side.
If he just was having a crisis where she was like, maybe all our memories are fake.
Would it be possible for me to commission a book like this from you?
We could work on getting it copied for you. It would take a little bit of time and we'd need some ink, but yeah, we could make a copy for you.
Yeah, I have, what can I give? Potions, I have.
Is there anything we can give you in return?
However long it takes, I would like to, because we're going to be here for a while, Mordant for a while, and we'll find you. But yeah, if you could craft one of these so I can bring it home.
Sorry, that's something that we could do for you. I mean, once we're out of Mordant, sure, we just travel around a little while. We don't like going through the gray so much past the Arden River, but there's not really that many places anyway.
Well, yeah, we'll find you, and we'll. I just want to see if I can get people to remember.
Yeah. So if we brought his mom out, she'd remember?
Possibly. She's lived there a long time.
Maybe if I have enough magic, I could help her.
Does she want to be helped? She left on good terms, right?
Well, yeah, based on what we saw, she just fell in love with a man who had been coming down from Darkon, doing some trading with his caravan, and the two met, of course, and they struck it up. And of course, it's important to have international trade between families.
Yeah, and all of my uncles tend to be pretty suave.
If he's got the hottest uncles at the family get together.
My dad's the schlub of the group. My dad's the one that has a great personality. No, seriously, like one uncle like seduced either a small human or a tall skinny dwarf, and that uncle seduced a woman from this other country. And she apparently knew about the curse and was fine with it, so she was willing to give up her memories for him.
That's now, question. Do you look up your uncle in the book?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From what you can tell, based on genealogies, there is no lineal relation between the two of you and him.
But he's in there.
He is listed in there, but he's listed as living in Delagia for a period of time. But otherwise, it doesn't appear, based on this book, that he's lineally related to you whatsoever.
Your parents' best friends, your tio.
Yeah. Either that or he's like, you know, like dad's, uncle's, wife's, son's, cousin's, you know, the way we normally make it up.
Or he may have just thought that he was family because of, you know, the things that happen in Darkon to people's memories.
Do you know anything about him?
He was a person that had a very strange reputation. He was obsessed with the occult and learning about magic, and he always seemed like a bit of a strange child.
If you ever hear about something he sold being around, or even just an item that's maybe making some weird stuff happen, could you let us know? Because we're trying to clean up his messes.
Oh, I mean, it would be my pleasure. If we could ever find it out, we'll try and send some type of post or get it on a ship so it can be delivered to you at some point.
If you can't reach us, Jackson's a good person. So we'll give her the store address.
Or Alonic.
Yeah.
If you find him or know where he is, he'll get a hold of us too.
Yeah. Because you told them our story, so they know that we're out and about looking for items that our uncle sold, right?
Yeah. The weirdness that happened and that doll that disappeared.
Would we have told them everything, or would we have kept the whole, like, their cursed items thing secret?
I don't think our halfling family is into curses, so yeah, they might want to tell them they're cursed.
Yeah, I don't think we really keep a lot of secrets as far as halflings. So one halfling knows, all halflings know. So it's frack rat rules. So yeah, we would have told them everything. So they know the story now. Watch out for this Petters guy, too. He seems like bad news.
Well, if we see if anybody like that, we'll certainly be aware to make them go along their way.
And we'll definitely try and jog up my aunt's memory. I mean, halflings are about family. It's really sad that you lost her because she moved.
Yes.
I mean, Lupo, you didn't even know you had a family here.
I didn't.
You could have been Lupo Quackwaddle.
I'm going to take my mother's maiden name.
That's like your good password. The security question. So do we want to travel with them or do we want to keep going ahead of them?
Well, it looks like they're making to stay for the night out here.
And do we have enough time to make it to the place?
You could make it to Mordenshire by evening, yes.
So do we want to do that or do we want to keep hanging out with the halflings?
We should make it on our way. We got to get there soon.
And we do have an important mission.
I will give them feathers to help with that. And I'll say, I will give you whatever you see, whatever you think it's worth, whenever you have it finished, I will give you that gold, or I will find equivalency of it. Like I'll borrow a new cart or something like that.
Sounds like a deal to us.
And anytime you need magic, I will be, give me a call.
And then we head on out.
I'm going to give, as a gift, protection from evil potion to one of them.
They take them graciously.
All right. So do we get to Mordantish? Wait, Mordantur? Mordantsville?
If you ride full out, you get to Mordenshire by the late evening. And the letters that Jackson had given you, one of them has an address that's listed in Mordenshire.
Well, yeah, we have a contact here, right?
The address says Windward Ave and Woodhollow Road. It's got the name Weathermay on it.
All right, let's go find Weathermay.
When you reach this place, it looks like a relatively simple herbalist shop. You can actually see a small sign outside in Mordantish. It's in High Mordantish. It says Van Richten's Herbalist Shop and Apothecary.
Is this the place?
That's the address that's listed on the back of the piece of paper that's sealed with wax for whoever's supposed to receive it.
Okay, let's head into the apothecary.
You head inside. It looks like the place is getting ready to close, but as you head inside, you see a relatively striking-looking redheaded woman behind the counter.
What is she? Is she a human?
Human, oh. Correct, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, are you Weathermay?
Oh, well, yes, I'm Jennifer Weathermay Foxgrove. Welcome to Van Richten's Herbalist Shop.
I have a letter for you. If he's going to give her a letter.
She seems a little surprised when you just hand the letter right over to her.
I'm Iffy.
Well, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Iffy. And you can see her unfolding the letter after she breaks the wax seal on it and looking through it with some level of interest.
Iffy's going to be looking around the shop. She's like, because it's an apothecary shop, which sounds really cool.
It's not only an apothecary shop, it is a combination apothecary shop, and you see a lot of curiosities in here that look very strange. You can see a collection of holy symbols in one area.
Oh, yeah. Iffy is looking all around. Like, I'm imagining, like, bubbling things and just cool plants. So, yeah, she is, like, all eyes. And she's keeping her hands, like, held behind her. You know how, like, a little kid does when you know they've been told not to touch things?
Yeah, Lupo's just watching her read the letter.
She reads the letter, and she looks down to the two of you for a moment, and she calls out, Laurie, could you come out here, please? And a woman that looks virtually identical to this woman, they both have the same red hair, although this Laurie woman's is longer. Each of them has a beauty mark on the same spot on their face. Based off of what you can see, these women are twins. The main difference is you can see that Jennifer has what looks like a pistol at her side, whereas Laurie doesn't appear to be carrying any kinds of weapons or anything. She says, it appears that the person that sent these two halflings here was friends with Uncle Rudolph. And the other woman turns and looks at you and she says, well, friends of Uncle Rudolph's are friends of ours no matter what. Laurie Weathermay Foxgrove, this is my twin sister Jennifer, and of course we are at your service. She starts reading through the note and she says, ah, we are looking for cursed items, are we?
Did your uncle leave you cursed items too?
The two look at each other and laugh a little bit. Jennifer says, well, one of our uncles is in fact quite a famous monster hunter. Van Richten wasn't our uncle by blood, just by association.
Is that what this is? Is Van Helsing?
Rudolph Van Richten is ostensibly Van Helsing for the Ravenloft world, correct?
Nice.
He's also dead.
Oh, so your uncle was a good guy and you inherited good guy duties from him. And our uncle was a bad guy. And now we're
charged with undoing his badness.
Yeah, trying to fix his being a bad guy. Similar journeys. Did you just inherit it too? Did it just like, hi, you have an uncle?
We inherited Van Richten's shop when he sadly disappeared.
Sainties.
Laurie, for her part, says, yes, he was trying to resolve some issues from his past, and it seems that perhaps his enemies finally caught up with him. We've been trying to find out more information about his disappearance, but as of yet, it's been fruitless.
In Halfling, I'm like, man, don't you kind of wish our uncle had been a good guy?
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
Yeah.
It looks like Laurie may understand what you're saying, but Jennifer does not.
Does the note say anything about accommodation? Sorry, we left in a hurry.
Yeah, we kind of had to leave Demonlieu pretty fast.
Laurie, for her part, says, well, we would be happy to have you stay here for the time being, especially if you're looking for cursed items.
We'd appreciate it if you ever need help in Martira Bay.
Jennifer goes, ooh, I would love to go to Darkon again. Always an exciting time to have there.
Do you have problems with forgetting that you're not from Darkon?
For her part, Jennifer says, it is a condition that Darkonians seem to suffer.
Not you?
We're not Darkonese. We did leave for a short period of time that we were, but we got over it fairly quickly.
So wild. Iffy's mind's kind of blown by this. Like,
it's weird.
It's like realizing that you have an accent too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're sitting in a room and you're like, we all have accents here. Like, the first time you realize that, that's what's kind of going on in Iffy's brain. Her little mind's expanding. Well, really appreciate the hospitality. What are we looking for here?
Based off of what it says in this paper here, it says a monocle.
Oh.
And it doesn't state, however, who might have purchased it. Yes, that it would be something that we would need to know.
What do we know about the monocle? Because again, I lost my notes.
It is an ornate monocle made of unidentified metal. Warp fate, Dr. Stella Canaveri at Ucel Sanitarium.
When you say the name Stella Canaveri, Jennifer goes kind of pale in the face. And you can see that she obviously knows who this person is.
Do I get the feeling that she's been in the mental asylum?
No.
Okay.
She says, you said Stella Canaveri? I know the woman, at least slightly. I've had a conversation with her before.
What's she like?
She's a very, I suppose, uptight is the word, woman.
Lupo, you might have to do the talking if she's uptight.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a conversation at the old Blackard Inn just a few weeks ago. She was complaining about playing hostess for some doctor's niece from Demonlieu. As well as Mousseau not being able to do what's necessary to treat patients besides using his analytical method alone.
Oh, no.
The niece from Demonlieu?
Correct, yes. A woman from a very influential family has decided that she wishes to study Mousseau's analytic method, and she has been residing in the sanitarium alongside some of the other doctors.
What's her name?
Her name is Celeste Louvelle d'Angemer.
That doesn't ring any bells to us from our time in Demonlieu, right?
Well, the last name absolutely does.
Oh, why?
Celeste Louvert Donaire.
Donaire? Wait, was that the name of the guy?
Counselor Dominique Donaire. I have it right here. It's Counselor Dominique Donaire, which was the guy that you insulted.
Oh, the guy that I insulted?
She is the niece of Dominic Donaire.
Okay. You know what? I don't think if he would recognize his name. She's like, oh, is he someone important?
Lupo, you do. You recognize his name.
I will tell you that. I was like, that's the guy we met in the carriage.
Oh, Fishman Piggy Hater.
Yes.
He doesn't. I don't think he likes me much. Do you think his niece knows?
I doubt it.
Cool.
You are in a different country.
How close would you say Celeste is with her uncle? If you ask.
Probably don't know.
I could not say for certain, but from what I understand, there is a bit of fractiousness within the family. It seems that she would much rather be in Mordenshire studying than she would be elsewhere. There was a little bit of a, let's call it an international rough, when she was discovered to be here studying, and She was almost extracted by a number of gendarmes from De Montlieu, but to avoid an international incident, she decided to stay for a smaller period of time and will be returning home within a few months.
Cool. So she's probably not going to be mad at us.
And I'm sure you recognize who we are.
I wonder what those sisters think that we're so concerned with anyone related to him knowing who I am.
They do exchange looks every once in a while, like they're curious as to what it is that you had done.
He and I are still in the awkward stages of our friendship. We're going to be best friends one day, though. I can feel it. So we need to figure out if she's got this monocle still. We don't know what the monocle does, right?
I know it's a warped fate.
Warped fate. Has anything weird been happening with the asylum lately?
Jennifer is the one that keeps speaking. You can see Laurie going. It looks like she's maybe getting a pot of tea or something ready.
Ooh, food?
It looks like they're getting maybe some food, too, yes. You hungry little halfling.
If he's watching that.
For her part, she says, I did not see any kind of monocle on the woman, but it's possible that she has one. She seems to be distinctly unconcerned about the area where she's staying being a little rougher in the evenings. She had told me that she was staying at the bunkhouse midway down Fisher Alley.
Are there any weird rumors or weird happenings in the city?
There's been rumors as of late that there are potentially ghouls that have been reported within the graveyard, but we were going to go investigate that later on this evening.
You want to tag along?
We'll come. If you don't mind, we'd like to tag.
Oh, we'd love to have a little bit of extra support for a mission like that, of course, yes. Chances are it's bunk, and if anything, it could just possibly be a grave robber, but of course that needs to be addressed by the lamplighters as well.
Lamplighters?
Yes, they're what you would call a constabulary in other areas.
Oh, cops.
Yeah, definitely. So we know she's staying at the bunkhouse on Fisher Alley. Well, it's closer to dark now, isn't it?
Yes, it's dark outside by now. They were going to go within an hour or two.
We would hate to disrupt your evening. We'll accompany you, and then in the morning we can figure out what to do about Miss Conavier.
Oh, good. It appears that Laurie's currently making a batch of sticky buns in the kitchen if anybody would want one.
Sticky buns! If he's going to run to the kitchen. She's really bad at being a guest.
Laurie laughs and she's like, well, don't you have a little bit of an appetite?
Always.
And she hands a sticky bun over to you.
Hippie eats it and she's getting sticky from the sticky bun. God, now I want cinnamon rolls.
Big surprise there.
As your dog tries to lick it off.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's mine. But she can't get away because she's smaller than him.
My dog just sits there as I eat one piece, give one him one piece, eat one piece.
Like, stop eating it out of my mouth.
We're very different.
He just like keeps spitting it out so he can eat it because otherwise he tries to get it. How gross. Oh my God, I would throw up if I saw somebody eating like that.
I had a cat that would try to eat the food out of my mouth.
And as you're eating, they bring over what looks like a small map of the area of Mordenshire.
Ooh. And Iffy makes some rough outlines so she doesn't get lost as much here.
I'll get you some, Iffy. Can I forge the map?
If you want to take a little bit of time yet, you can try and get at least a rough sketch of it done. Do you have any sort of artistic capability?
I just know I have linguistics, and I know I can forge things with linguistics. So that's why I wanted to forge it and not really make a new one.
Forgery and art are not necessarily the same thing.
Can I just do like a really rough map? Like, here's the major crossroads, just so if I'm lost, I can look at signs and eventually find my way back.
Yeah, you can make a very crude map. I won't make you roll for it, but it's not going to give you any real detail or anything like that.
No, just like the main roads and stuff, just so that major landmarks, you know. So if I like, oh, I went to the church. The church is on the outskirts of town. I should probably turn my ass around and happy feet it back.
Yeah. You're able to get that taken care of. Correct.
Well, let's go kill some ghouls.
Or find a grave robber.
The four of you end up heading out. It's around midnight by the time you arrive at this cemetery. It looks like there's a ruined chapel near the cemetery.
Ooh, ambiance.
And it's a fenced in area. It's got a big wrought iron fence, but the fence itself has seen better days as far as its construction. The two sisters look like they are very much ready for business at this point. Jennifer is carrying a pistol with her, and you can see that she's also got a blade at her side. You believe it's a rapier?
I'm going to give myself full strength. And
he's just trotting along with yes, sir. Happy as can
be. I will touch Iffy as she's trotting, and he'll get full strength as well.
Ooh, I feel so much stronger now. Thanks, cuz.
For her part, Jennifer suggests, perhaps since there are four of us, we should split into two groups of two and comb through the cemetery a little bit. That way it'll allow us to find things a little bit quicker if there is any activity here.
Yeah, we could do that.
Do you want to split up by family or split up across families?
Smiling a little bit, Laurie says, I think it would be better if we went with family members.
Oh, so we have signal whistles we can signal each other with.
Yeah, do you want a signal whistle?
They take one of them from you and they say, this way, if we have any issues, your dogs can alert you to the danger.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to need you as you split up to give me perception checks.
14.
11. I rolled a 2.
Okay, great. After fanning out for a while, even though this is a relatively small graveyard, it takes a good 10 minutes to search around the whole place.
Oh, full strength would wear off.
Yeah, I mean, you can hold it for now. I'm not going to penalize you for having cast it when nothing's going on.
So hold it before the next fight?
If you want to save it to cast for when it's pertinent to do so.
It's fine, because I was waiting for something to jump out at us, so I would have done it first. That's what I would have done.
Okay, and Iffy, I'm actually going to need you to make a reflex save. Uh-oh. Or no, Lupo, sorry, because you rolled the lowest.
Uh-oh.
This is my worst save. With a 4. That's a 9.
Okay, well, as you're investigating, you can see at least one of the graves in the far southwest area of the graveyard has been torn up as far as the dirt of it. And as you're leaning over to inspect it, Lupo, you topple over and fall down into the dirt in the grave and disappear through the loose-packed soil.
I'm going to tie a rope around my waist and tell yes, sir, to hold it, and I'm jumping in after him.
Okay. As you're tying the rope around your waist, what are you tying it to?
I'm having yes, sir, hold the other end.
Okay. So you're having him just, like, bite it?
Yeah. I'm telling him to stay.
Okay.
And hold. And then I'm going to jump in after Lupo.
Lupo, you take a single point of damage as you end up hitting the bottom of what appears to be a small hole. You only drop about 8-9 feet total, but you're down a relatively rocky hole, so you hit the side a couple of times as you're going down.
Bing, 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 bing.
For a normal human being, this tunnel would only be about big enough for them to crawl through on their hands and knees. For you, fortunately, you can stand up and your head would just be brushing the top of the tunnel.
I stand up, hit my head because I can't see anything. I'm going to listen.
Give me a perception check.
20. Dirty.
Dirty 20. You hear scrabbling and scratching sounds off in the distance. It looks like the tunnel goes down a ways and then branches out. You also smell a faint whiff of rot.
Ooh, we would recognize that too. Does Iffy appear now?
At this point, a few steps behind where you're located at, although you can't really see too much or tell too much in the dark, you believe Iffy has just dropped down into the tunnel as well. Not quite as fast.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah, I have. Yes, they're holding the rope.
Something's out there.
What?
Something's out there.
Go back. I can stand up freely because I'm shorter than you are.
Neither of you are having any trouble whatsoever, like standing up in these tunnels.
Too small for our dogs.
They would have to shimmy through, but if it can fit a human being, it can fit your dogs.
I wouldn't call them.
I'm going to send yes, sir, to go get the ladies.
I'm going to get a light. Be ready for an attack.
Okay, now yes, sir does have the rope.
You can command Gorger, too. You know how to command him.
Oh, yeah. I'll command Gorger to go get them.
Okay. He just has track, heel, guard, down, defense. I don't get no way to really seek.
I mean, he can start barking.
Yeah.
Gorger and yes, sir, both start barking on command, and that after a while will probably get their attention.
Untie yourself. I'm going to light a light and get ready for attacks.
Okay, I untie myself.
I'm going to grab a sling bullet and have it really close and light it up, and then feel which way the tunnel goes and throw it that way.
Okay,
Go ahead, give me a check for the sling bullet light first. The check you need to make to cast your spells.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about those. 47.
Okay, so you get the spell off with no problem. As you light up the sling stone and get ready to launch it, you see what looks like a pair of feet disappear into a tunnel that branches off into a T-shaped intersection in the distance.
Ready in action.
Yeah, and they quickly disappear out of sight. It's just in the vestiges of your ability to see for a moment.
I'm going to switch over my light to my shield then. So I'm going to try it again.
Okay, I'll just let you have cast it on your shield instead. I'm fine with that.
I'm going to move a little further down just so that if something attacks, I'm between it and Lupo.
Okay, no problem. As you move a little further down, you too can hear a bit of scrabbling ahead.
Do I know of anything? Like, is this what ghouls would do?
Actually, give me a knowledge religion check, either of you, if you want to know about that.
Yes. 19.
You know that ghouls typically dwell underground because it makes it easier for them to find buried bodies. They like to eat rotten corpses.
I'll let you know.
Okay. What are ghouls weak to? Decapitation.
I think we just had to kill them to death.
Okay. Do the ladies come?
They come, unfortunately, as you can hear them up above. One of them calls down to you. You believe it's Jennifer because the voice is a little lower. She says, "We'll try and crawl down there as soon as possible. We've just got to clear a little bit of the dirt out."
We may flush them out.
She says, "Oh, well, then we'll keep and watch up here. That way, in case they come out of one of their holes, we can take them out."
Throw the light down here for big people.
Understood. Yeah. Be safe down there.
We'll try. Let's go ghoul hunting.
Yes.
Are ghouls attracted to anything?
I mean, rotten meat.
How's our owl meat looking?
Not gamey enough or humanoid enough to count as rotten meat they're super interested in.
Are they, like, defensive of their territory?
They typically will be, yes.
What if I just start shouting?
That's an option.
Won't it bring them to us?
It's possible.
All right. I was able to get bull strength off twice for both of us.
Do you want me to start trying to get the ghouls' attention?
We saw feet. Let's go that way.
Okay, we start heading down the tunnels.
As you reach the T-shaped intersection, go ahead and give me perception checks.
14.
17.
Iffy, you barely manage to see the figure that's clinging to the side of the stones down one end of the tunnels. Lupo, with you behind her, however, you're easily able to point them out. You have a better time seeing them through their slight blending in with the stone. This purplish, grayish-skinned humanoid is wearing what look like funerary remnants. And as you turn and, Lupo, look down the other end of this T-shaped intersection, you can see what looks like another being with the same skin tone and a massive tongue hanging out of its mouth. It appears to be wearing what looks like a coat that has its arms wrapped around it.
Is that a normal ghoul thing?
No, that is not a normal ghoul thing, based on your very limited ghoul experience.
We should retreat.
Okay, we retreat back down the tunnel.
Well, you have to give me an initiative check. Because everybody is aware of everybody else at this point. And you
we're just like, this isn't where we parked our cars.
Well.
It's like Alan Quartermain. Hey there, boys.
Just checking you. Boodoo, boodoo, boodoo.
I got it. 12.
We both got 12s.
Are you kidding me? We all got 12s.
All right.
I have a 15 dex.
I got a 15 dex.
They have a 15 dex. Everybody's going at the exact same time. It's madness.
Are we attacking?
I think we need to retreat. That one looks weird.
Okay.
You could go back down the tunnel that you just came out of, but the ghouls are to both the right and left of the two of you as you are in the tunnel mouth where it splits off.
We're like 20 feet or 30 feet from where we came down.
Once we get there, though, we still have to get out, so...
It's harder for them to hit me, so you go first.
Okay, we start retreating, I guess.
I'm going to do try protection from evil as she goes past me to make sure I'm protected more. I'm going to try to do it defensively.
Okay, the two ghouls, again, one to either side of you, come charging towards you as you're beginning to weave your spell and get your protective energies in order.
I do not cast it defensively. But I rolled a 50, so I am able to cast it if they, but I have to, they can hit me if they want.
Okay, well, they're both charging in, and it looks like trying to bite at you.
Oh, no.
Okay, one of them launches itself
The one that it was in the strange coat that wraps its arms around it launches itself and bites you in the back of the neck. While the other one also launches itself at you, but ends up dashing past as the one pushes you down somewhat. Go ahead and give me a fortitude save, please.
Oh, no. Is this against fear?
It is not.
Cold weather?
No, it is not.
Sure?
I'm sure.
18.
Okay. You feel, as this thing bites you in the side of the neck, it feels like there's something that gets right under your skin as its teeth penetrate the inside of your armor. You feel your limbs lock up for a moment, but then you manage to struggle through it and prevent the wave of paralysis that's coming over you from taking hold. The bite burns a little bit.
All right.
But you do get your spell off.
Oh, well, I have to roll a concentration check, right?
Yes, that's true. You do.
Against 10 plus 3?
Correct, yeah.
So I'd roll 8 at least. Okay, I rolled a 15.
Yeah, so even as it bites you in the neck, your spell goes up and it hisses as it reels back a little bit. Iffy, what are you doing?
They attacked him, right?
Correct, yeah. One bit him in the back of the neck.
I'm going to hit that one with a telekinetic blast.
Okay. You would be within 30 feet.
I'm in within 30 feet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I would also like to do the bull's rush thing.
Okay, so you're going to take a point of burn on that?
Yeah.
You'll get a plus 1 to attack and plus 2 on damage with your blast because of your burn.
Okay.
So her hair starts lifting up in the air a little bit as she gets ready to throw one of these balls.
I rolled a nat 20.
Yes. Confirm that critical. Not that it's really necessary.
I got an 8 plus a 9.
Yeah, so okay. Not like it's necessary. I'm going to tell you something. It explodes when you hit it.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say 16 plus 12.
Yeah, it had 13 hit points.
Don't touch my cousin.
The one that just bit you, Lupo, explodes into a burst of rotting limbs and offal.
We may not need to retreat.
Hopefully not.
And everybody goes at the same time, so we all go again at the same time.
I'm going to try and just attack the other one.
I will as well.
11 plus 8. Sorry, plus 1 for burn.
15.
Well, Lupo, its claws and teeth clatter against your armor as it tries to savage you. You both hit it.
10 points of damage from me.
4.
And you were using your sickle?
My silver sickle, yes. Magical.
As it scrabbles and clatters against your armor and shield and tries to tear at your skin fruitlessly, as Iffy's shot cuts its legs out from underneath of it as her little sling bullet cracks its hip and nearly rips off the bottom part of its body, you slash at it and lop its head clean off with your silver sickle.
Ew, so gross.
Lupo, you can see with your light spell still active, the tunnel to the left-hand side dead ends about 50 feet downwards, but the tunnel on the other side continues going and makes a curve.
I'm going to put my sickle like away really quick, and I'm going to get out my wand and try to heal myself.
Were there others coming, did you say? I'm sorry.
Not that you can hear, no.
I'm going to call up to the ladies and tell them one ghoul down and one long-tongued straitjacket ghoul down.
You realize it's also just a regular ghoul. And you can hear from up top, Jennifer says, good going down there.
We're looking for more. It'd help if somebody knew how many there were. Do you know how many there are?
We don't have any idea. We weren't even certain it was a problem. We just thought it was because we had heard some tales of graves being disturbed.
Well, good instincts.
I heal up a little bit.
I'm going to shout down the tunnels. Any more ghouls down here?
You hear nothing in response, obviously.
I guess let's go start checking it out. I'm going to use chalk to mark the side of the tunnels so we don't get lost.
Okay.
We'll start going down the tunnels, I guess.
You head down the tunnel and you see it leads into what appears to be a big hollowed out kind of antechamber. There's a lot of different bones down here. And it looks like smaller tunnels run to some of the graves that are above.
Can we tell how many ghouls there are?
It smells bad. Give me an intelligence check.
I got a 3. I just shout again, ghouls? Any more ghouls?
intelligence, I got an 18.
For your part, Lupo, you can tell that it appears there was only maybe two or three down here based on the amount of bones that have been gnawed.
So it might be one more.
And Lupo, you notice a glint of something reflected in your light spell underneath a good deal of bones.
Yeah, I go grab it. Move the bones out of the way.
It is a very small ring inset with a blue sapphire.
Is it magic?
It's a little tarnish.
First, I'm going to look around to see if I hear anything. Listen to see if I hear anything.
You're going to listen to see if I see anything.
Yeah.
Perception.
18. Iffy, you are a little bit distracted. Lupo, however, you hear it from up above. It's kind of muffled by all the dirt that's in between you. You hear the discharge of a firearm, and you can hear both Jennifer and Laurie yelling.
Oh, there's something upstairs.
We better head up.
You also hear the muffled sound of your dogs barking.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. We're running to see what's going on.
As you run to see what's going on, you realize that the rope is still there. It appears that Yesser has not left, but you can hear him barking loudly.
Okay, I'm going to grab the rope, and do you think he'll pull me up?
He immediately starts pulling on the rope, and he can pull hard enough to pull both Ippy and Lupo out at the same time. As you emerge from the dirt, you can see off in the distance, Laurie is casting some sort of spell, and a couple of greenish darts of energy fling forth from her fingers and slam into what appears to be another ghoul.
I praise Yes Sir, because he was a good boy.
And as that ghoul collapses, you can see Jennifer is cleaning off her rapier. Calling over, Jennifer says, "We got another one coming out."
Excellent. You said there were only three, right?
From the bite patterns and all that stuff on the bones, it was only two or three.
Do either of you want to see the lair?
For their part, Jennifer finally comes over and says, "I'd be willing to go down there and take a look."
I'll show her if you want to stay up here with Lori.
Yeah, I'm going to cast light on something small for you.
Okay. Oh, adamantine ball.
Yep, 70, so I got it.
And as the two of you go down to check, you can see it appears that this was all the ghouls down there. Nothing makes any more sounds while you're down there.
Yeah, I tell her how the fight went and show her the place. Like, over here's a refuse pile. Over here's some tunnels.
The guy had a straitjacket on, right?
Yeah, one of them had a straitjacket. I'm going to show her that one. And it has a really long tongue. Do ghouls normally have really long tongues?
She says, yes, most ghouls actually have long tongues to lick the marrow out of bones.
Ew, that's so gross.
It is quite disgusting, but I think what concerns me more is not only the freshness of this straitjacket, but the fact that I can tell where it's from.
Is it the mental institute that lady's at?
She nods very severely.
Yeah, we find that these cursed artifacts seem to have, like, kind of a poisonous effect on the society that it's in.
Well, clearly, we need to pay Miss Canaveri a visit in the morning.
Can we tell anything about this ghoul, like, who it might have been in real life?
Like, before unfortunately, other than perhaps a patient at the sanitarium, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they were human. Middle-aged male based off of the decay to the body, but otherwise it's kind of hard to tell with ghouls or other undead especially.
Do we want to show them the ring?
Do we?
Is it magic?
I don't know. I was going to ask, do I know about their bites?
You do know about their bites, correct.
Is there something bad about you getting bit?
Once you guys get back, I will say I've also been bitten.
They give each other a look.
I feel fine now.
For her part, Laurie says, should your condition change, please let us know. We'll do our best to assist you.
What? Why would it change?
I showed them the wound.
Laurie looks to you, very concerned, iffy, and she says, there is a slight possibility of him contracting what is known as ghoul fever from a ghoul bite.
Normal fever, right?
It's not good.
You won't turn into a ghoul or something, right?
That's, yes.
No.
Possible.
No.
That's days away, though.
What do we do to stop it?
Magic.
Whose? I'll go find him.
Not my magic.
For her part, Laurie says, it's possible that I might be able to brew a potion to assist you with it, should you have contracted it. Of course, we don't know at this point whether you've even contracted the disease or whether you got lucky.
Yes.
How do we know?
Well, he will begin suffering. It attacks the nervous system mostly. It would cause fevers and shaking and other sorts of illnesses that we would be able to get a pretty good idea that he had been suffering from ghoul fever.
Lupo, you don't tough this one out. If you have any symptoms, you tell us and then she'll make the potion, okay?
I will. I told you right away when I was bit.
If he's very concerned.
And for her part, Jennifer says, yes, maybe we should quarantine you for a day or so just to make certain that you are not coming down with any effects.
Is this not mordant? Do I not have free reign, free will?
Wait, no, I mean, you want to quarantine him away from me?
Just to make certain that he's not amongst the populace if he starts suffering from infection.
I have rights.
Of course you do.
He's like, what, you want me to wear like a piece of cloth over my face or something?
Wake up, sheeple. Ghoul fever isn't real.
I will stay away from people for the time being.
But not me. I'm not people. I'm your cousin.
And you may have to do the deed that we do not wish to talk about.
No.
I do not want to be a ghoul.
You won't be, but you're not going to... No.
You were taken back to Van Richten's herbalists and apothecary, and they give you a very comfortable side room to stay in. You do notice it has a lock on the outside of the door, but they don't put it on.
Oh, I will let them know. I also have a curse, a different curse, that my face looks like this.
There might be like a little complication if he becomes a ghoul.
For her part, Jennifer says, how so?
I
got meaner bites than normal.
How do I explain this? The magics I have are also my curse.
They exchange a significant look between one another again, and Laurie says, could you explain a little further? I'm very well versed in arcane matters.
You want to take off the scarf?
It's not something that can be exchanged or given to other people, and I will show them my face.
When you take the wrap off, for a moment, Jennifer especially looks a little concerned.
I was born under a full moon, and this is what I looked like.
Laurie seems fascinated for her part, and she says, and you say that you draw magical power from this?
Yes.
Interesting, but you are not religious.
I know the moon is special to me.
She actually starts questioning you a little bit about your magic and what it is you're capable of. Apparently, she is a wizard, so she is very interested in those sorts of things.
I'll talk about my magic.
Settles back on if he's calm.
I'll show her my moonbeam. Moonbeam, go!
His magic girl transformation.
She talks with you about a number of arcane things.
I could help you brew a potion as well. I can do those.
I imagine Iffy and Jennifer like comparing scars, not in a competitive way, just like, look at this one. Want to hear the cool story behind it?
Oh, yeah. The two of you talk for a good while about some of the different fights that you've been in. She admires your sword.
Ooh, yeah. He made it. It's really nice.
I prefer a little something slimmer myself, but I can appreciate the damage you could do with something like that.
It's more that moment when someone's looking at you and they think, oh, you're just a halfling. And then I pull this sucker out and they're like, uh-oh, a halfling. With a big, big sword. Like, even if she doesn't know how to do anything with it, she's going to hurt someone.
We'll have you folks rest for the evening. Lupo, you feel fine when you wake up the next day.
If he's like, she doesn't wake up with her normal breakfast thing, you wake up and she's just like, watching you over the edge of the bed, just like, are you a ghoul?
I'm gonna bluff this.
Oh no.
Go ahead and roll.
The only time I ever get to mess with Iffy. Like, this is probably the first time in my life I've ever been able to mess with Iffy.
Okay, Iffy, so you have to make a sense motive check against his bluff roll.
That's a 9.
I rolled a nat 1.
Iffy, your cousin has become one of the undead.
No.
You're waiting to see his tongue loll out of his mouth. You know for a fact that...
I probably see this. I'm like, no, I'm okay.
I was going to say, if he grabs some of the almy out of her bag and stuffs it in his mouth. It's fine. You don't need to eat people. Al's great. You love Al.
And as this is happening, the door flies open and Jennifer and Laurie are both in their nightgowns.
I'm picturing Iffy's on top, just like trying to shove Almy into his mouth. It's fine. You don't have to be a ghoul. You can be an owl ghoul.
Both of the dogs are barking hysterically at this point.
You can be a gal, not a ghoul.
Is there any significance to Nana Quackwaddle's prophesying? Have the Weathermay Foxgrove twins ever dealt with such rambunctious monster hunters before? And just how bad did that rancid owl meat taste for Lupo? Find out the answers to some of these questions and more on the next Ravenloft Tiny Terrors. Ravenloft is a registered trademark owned by Wizards of the Coast Incorporated. The Pathfinder role-playing game is a trademark of Paizo Incorporated. Our theme song, Spooky Halloween Trailer, was composed by Toy Invention and is used under a commercial license that includes sync licensing. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always email us at realplaygamespodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at realplaypod. If you'd like to support the show, please visit our Patreon at www.patreon.com/realplaygamespod and get early and exclusive content in exchange for helping us pay the rent.